These last few minutes together, we started a series last week called Life Words. And the idea is that the words we speak bring life or death. And we use the scripture from Proverbs 18. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so we have authority in what we speak. We can bring life into circumstances. We can bring death into circumstances. But what does God want to do? God wants us to bring life. And why? Why is life so important? Here's the thing. God wants you and I to grow in faith. Let me share a scripture with you. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, says this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, so it's there, and I've underlined a few things. So as you look, you know, faith comes by hearing. Faith, you know, again, that's an elusive kind of word. Can we change that? You know, someone says, you have faith in me. Well, you sort of get it. But if someone says, trust me, does that make a little more sense? Well, literally, that's what the word faith means. It means the ability to trust. And when it's in Scripture, it's the ability to trust in the name and the authority of Jesus, all right? That's what it's about. And so there are many Christians in the world who believe in Jesus, okay? And so I'm good with that, and that's important. And we need to believe in Jesus for salvation. But there's another step in this, and it's this. Do you believe him in the word that he said? In other words, do you have faith not in just Jesus, but the words that he's spoken? Because Jesus is a living word. The word is Jesus. And so you can't separate the two. And so do we trust in what he says? So here, let's look back at this. Faith comes by hearing. That word hearing is to perceive what's being said. So it's not just hearing. You know, I used to tell my kids when they were young, hey, take out the garbage. And I know they heard it because I'm pretty loud. You know what I'm saying? But somehow the garbage didn't get taken out. So they heard it. They may have even perceived it, but they didn't do it. Well, true faith always has a corresponding action. So if you're like a yeah person, you know, and don't do it, then really you don't have faith. You're just a yes person. And let me tell you, that doesn't cut it with God. That will not get you the promises that God has in his word. You have to act upon the promises. And how do you do it? By faith. So faith comes by hearing, perceiving what God is saying, and then acting upon it. You have to have action with it. And how does this happen? It says, and hearing by the word of God. And you wonder, like, it's kind of like repeated. It's a little bit strange. But it isn't. Faith comes by hearing, by perceiving what's going on, and perceiving through, and that word by, you know, that little word by, it's not a filler word. That actually means, in the original Greek, through the channel of the word of God. In other words, there's lots of people talking and saying lots of words out in the world. Hey, this is how you get rich. This is how you do this and do that. And the thing is, their channel is not through the word of God. Their channel is through, you know, motivational speaking or whatever it might be. But for you and I, real faith, real trust in Jesus is through understanding what God's word has to say to us and then acting upon it. And not just his word. When we look at the original of the word, there's two words used. It's logos and rhema. The logos is the recorded word of God, the written down word of God. And this is very important. This is all of God's word contained here for you and I. But the word that's used here is the rhema word, and that means an utterance, specifically a word. And so we have here all of God's word contained within the pages of the Bible. And the thing is, as you and I are walking through life, we need to be reading God's word. We need to, you know, ruminate on it and think about it, meditate on it. But I don't know about you, but when I'm in a certain situation, I need to hear a word from God. And what does that mean? I need to hear what he has to specifically say for the event that I'm involved in, how to act, what to do, what to say, what not to say at that moment. And that's literally what that scripture is talking about, that as we trust in the Lord, he has a word that's specific for whatever's going on in your life. You know why he has that? Because he's a living God. We don't serve a dead God that just left us a book. You know, that he lived 2,000 years ago, died, and said, oh, here's a book about me, and you can find out about me. No, it's more than that. He came back from the dead. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So his word is a living word. He's alive today. In fact, still today, after 35 years of knowing Jesus, when I open the pages of this book, I say, Lord Jesus, I pray your Holy Spirit will just illuminate my mind that I can hear from you and see what you have to say. So when I'm sitting at a table, I imagine him standing or sitting there right there with me, participating in what's going on. Because that's the God we serve. Not a dead God, but one that's alive today. And so it's so important that the life words that we're perceiving isn't from some dead person, but from a living, risen Jesus that's walking with you and I every day. So how does this all work? You know, and so last week I talked about the parable of all parables. And we talked about the parable of the sower. And we talked about the fact that the sower is the Father. Okay, Father God, he sows seed. And the seed is literally the Word of God. Or we could even say Jesus. Because Jesus is the Word is Jesus. And we learned about that last week. And if you missed that, encourage you to listen to it online. But then we talked about the soil. Because you had the three parts, right? The sower, the seed, and the soil. The soil is our hearts. And I talked about the different kinds of hearts that we can have, and we're not going to get into that today, but essentially that the soil is our hearts. And that here's what happens. When we speak words, it's not our mouth that gets us into trouble. It's our heart that gets us into trouble. In fact, the Lord spoke to me this week, and he said, son, he says, your mouth is the loudspeaker of the heart. Essentially, that's what it is, right? You know, and I talked last week, I asked you, you know, when you had your mouth washed out with soap when you were a little kid, did it really help? No, just made you taste soap for about a week. At least that's how it was for me. But your heart, if it never changed, then you're just going to say those foul things. You might just say it under your breath or when your parents weren't around. But it didn't change anything. And so how do we fix the heart? Well, the shorter answer is you can't. Now, there is a longer answer. Now, let me give you the answer to the short answer first. You can't do it yourself. Only through faith in Jesus Christ can change a broken heart, a heart that's darkened by the sin of this world. Only Jesus can change it. And so the longer answer is, no, you can't do it, but God can do it for you if you're willing to let him. And that's so, so important. So how can we enable God to help fix our hearts? In other words, to come to a place that when we're saying words, that every time we open our mouths, it's bringing life. Every single time, it's bringing life into the circumstances we're walking in. As I look at Jesus, everywhere he went, he brought life wherever he went. And if we're ambassadors of Jesus, as believers in Christ, if that's our calling, our position, then we need to be bringing life through our words and through our actions everywhere we go. So how does this work? And I just want to leave you with a couple of thoughts this morning. Okay, so it begins obviously in our relationships. If you have your Bibles or your apps, go to Ephesians chapter 5. I just want to read this scripture to you. Ephesians 5, and this scripture, actually, I use at weddings a lot, okay? Because it talks about husbands and wives. But there's some other meanings here as well, and so let's bring this all together. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 25. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So as we look at this scripture, what we're seeing is a parallelism. Two things that are going on here. You see the writer, the Apostle Paul, he's talking about husbands and wives, but he's also talking about Jesus and the church. And it's really quite connected because Jesus elsewhere in Scripture is called the groom. And the church, you and I, are called the bride. And so actually there is a connection here that's quite close. But let's look at it first from the spiritual point of view. All right? So husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for her. And then look at this. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. Who's the he? It's Jesus. Okay? And so what Jesus wants to do is cleanse us by the washing of the water of the word. Sanctify us and cleanse us. Well, what does that mean? He wants to make us holy and pure. Now, we can't do that. Remember that. We can't fix our hearts. But he can. And how does he do it? By the washing of the water of the word. That word washing is the same word that we get the word baptism from. And what it means is to be fully immersed. So in other words, you know, Jesus doesn't want to do a little dab of do ya. He doesn't want to give you just a little bit of the word. He wants to immerse you in the word. Now here's the thing. It's not so much in this word. It is this word. But he wants to immerse you in the words that he has specifically for you. See, each one of you have giftings and callings and purposes and divine destinations that is a part of your life that God has for you. And he wants to give you those words to say, look, I need you to call so-and-so, and I need you to meet with them for coffee, and I want you to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. That's what God wants to do, is give you specific words for specific events in your life. The word calls them kairos moments, divine moments in time. So God wants to use those things to talk to you. And so how does he do that? He washes you with the good things. He tells you you're able to, because you hear the Holy Spirit say, I want you to do this. And the first thing that comes to mind for so many, I can't. I'm unable. You know, what are you doing? God's speaking words of life. Yes, you can. You're like, no, I can't. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Well, who's going to win here? Here's the thing. Shut up. Let God win, okay? In other words, let his words of life speak over you. And that's the problem many of us have. We default to negativity even against ourselves. Having said that, we sometimes default to negativity to those around us as well. And so God has called us, if you could put that scripture back up, he has called us to speak words of life. And that's what he's saying here, to be washed by the water of the word, that God is speaking words of life over you. And you can read it all through the Bible where he's encouraging you over and over and over again. But here's the thing, by his Holy Spirit, he wants to encourage you specifically. You know, just this very week, God spoke to me and he just reminded me and he told me, he says, you've got gifts and callings on your life and you need to make them a priority because you are going to move in them. And so it was kind of a correction, a rebuke, a little bit on one side, yet it was a reminder of what God has said to me. And that's how God works at times. Sometimes correction comes with it. Why? Because he wants us to be on the right heading doing what he's called us to do. Here's why. The blessings and the joy and the peace is all found in his perfect will. And the only way you can have that is to have a word from him. That's how it works. And so why does the Lord want to do this for us? That he might present her to himself, so that God might present us to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she being a church, should be holy and without blemish. That's awesome. In other words, God wants to do a work in us to prepare us so that we're without spot or wrinkle. And how does he do it? He washes us. Let me give you a story that happened a number of years ago. You won't know the person, all right? So you can't try to figure out who it is. But there was a couple came up. And so in this case, it was the lady just starts talking, you know, because I said, hey, what can we do for you? And the lady just starts just bashing her husband. Like, I mean, you know, my husband's no good, this and this. It went like rattled down 10 things. And finally she said, and he's not spiritual, you know. And the guy standing, like, I'm like, hello, the guy is standing right here. You know, that is not appropriate. And the guy's looking down at his feet, you know, and you know, twiddling his thumbs. He's like, I can tell you exactly what he's thinking. This lady's driving me crazy. That's the first thing he's thinking, all right? And the other thing is, I'm never coming back here again. Because here he's just been embarrassed in public. You know what I'm saying? Any of us have had that happen, we wouldn't come back. Now, here's the thing. The guy was at church. You see what I'm saying? You know, there's normally something good you can say about a spouse. Now, look, there may be some people here. You've got a spouse. You've got a dud, okay? But for most of us, you can say something positive. How about this? Maybe the husband was an absentee parent, maybe in a lot of different ways, but he brought home a paycheck every week. And he faithfully put it in the bank. He didn't blow it. He faithfully put it in the bank. Now, he may have other issues. You get what I'm saying? Can't we speak in a positive way concerning the faithfulness of that individual? Now, what about the woman in a circumstance? You know, maybe she doesn't do very well in certain areas of her life, yet in some areas, you know, maybe she's just a faithful wife. In other words, she doesn't wander and get involved in other relationships. She's a faithful individual. Yet maybe she's got some issues in some other places. Here's the thing. What should we be focused on? You know what I've learned about encouragement is that it needs to be encouraging. You know, sometimes here's what we do. Under the guise of speaking the truth, all we're doing is bringing death into circumstances. I think of individuals who don't know Jesus. And I've seen people go up, literally I've seen this with my own eyes. They go up and they say to that person, do you know you're a sinner? You know what I hear most of the time? The person looks back and says, yeah, I know that. Like, you're not telling me anything new. But wouldn't it be better if we came up to that person and said, hey, there's hope in somebody that I know. Would you like me to tell you about that person? Now, here's the thing. It's not that you're telling not the truth, but you're bringing a positive thing to it. You're bringing a word of encouragement. Jesus didn't go running around yelling at people and screaming at them, you know, you're all going to hell. He didn't say that at all. Here's what he said. I have the words of life. Come on to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. That's what he was saying. You see what I'm saying? And here's the problem, is that so many of us have been programmed because we've been brought up in this negative word thing where we're just speaking death. I've seen parents come up and their little kids are standing around them and they're like, man, I just hate my kids. My kids just drive me crazy. They're no good. And the little kids are just looking up like, mommy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Those words are going to stay with those children till the day they die. And even if they've dealt with it, you know what I mean? They echo in their minds. Let's not be that. Let's not be that, because God hasn't called you and I to be that. He doesn't speak that over you. When you were in your worst place, even when you were unsaved, the Bible says that God had a book written all about you. And in that book were good things for your life. He didn't just even speak it. He recorded it. That's pretty amazing. All good things for you and I. So what we need to do is begin to speak the life that God has called you and me to do. Amen? Just encourage you with that. Let's stand together. We're going to close in a couple minutes, but we're going to do one other thing. We're going to pray for the sick today, because part of the cleansing power of the Word of God is to bring healing. Yeah, I'm going to, Brian and Brenda, come up. We got one song. They're going to bring back the beautiful name of Jesus. And so we're going to be singing that song, but I'm going to invite individuals that need prayer. We had a wonderful move of God at the early service. It's just incredible what God did. And so let me read this one scripture verse to you to set the stage for what I want to see happen. In Psalms 107, verse 20, it says this: He, God, sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That's what the scripture says. God sent His word, the living word. And you could say it's Jesus. Okay. He sent Jesus and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. That word healed means healing in whatever you need healing for. In fact, in the original Hebrew, it's the word Rapha. And in fact, we see through Scripture, God is called Jehovah Rapha. And that means the Lord who heals. It's so much a part of who He is that it's one of God's names. That's a big deal. It's not just one of the side things He does. It literally represents His character and nature of who He is. And it says this, and delivered us, or rescued us from their destructions. In some versions, it says rescued us or delivered us from the pit. Anybody in a pit today? Maybe you have a health issue that's going on in your life. Maybe a financial issue. Maybe an emotional issue, relationship issue. God wants to bring healing to whatever you need healing for. And all I'm asking you to do is to take a few steps forward. That's it. You know, I could go to Scripture and show you where people had to jump through hoops to get their healing. Some pretty serious stuff. I'm just asking you to come, like, for some of you, 10 feet, 20 feet, 30 feet forward. You don't have to jump a river or, you know, jump anything or do anything. Just come forward as an act of faith. And so here's what's going to happen. We're going to sing a song here in the background so people can participate in that. But if you need healing, come forward. The pastoral staff's here. Leaders are here. We're going to agree with you, and we're going to speak, listen to me, a word over your circumstance. In other words, not just the word, not all of the word, but a word that is specific for your circumstance. And believe God for healing, because Scripture says God sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And you'll notice that's past tense. In other words, He's purchased it for us. It's already done. And all we have to do is, by faith, accept it. So if you need healing in any way, shape, or form, come on up. For the rest of us, we can sing. But I encourage the leaders, pastoral staff, come on up. Let's agree together to see healing.